Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 9th of the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our 2 at 2 in the goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Wow, we had an incredible broadcast last hour, man. Topics galore. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, absolutely hitting it out of the park, as he always does. Now Sam and Kurt with news the networks refuse to use. Hi, Kurt. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. I have an interesting topic that I want to talk about. In the mainstream press, they're just wow. All right, their headline, Kurt. Latinos will suffer. Brunt of Trump's deportation plans. Let me say that again. Latinos will suffer the brunt of Trump's deportation plans. Kurt, I submit to you that's a lie. Let me give you the headline that I have. Left liberal lie. Latinos will suffer the brunt of Trump's deportation plan. Now, a lot of people would say, Sam, it's obvious Latinos are going to get, you know, the beating more than others about this. You know, they're from all kinds of countries, Mexico, Latin America, South America, whatever, and they're the ones coming into the country the most illegally. Whoa! Yeah, you just hit the word. Illegally. All right? Now, let me tell you a couple of quick stories to make the point. Illegals. So I'm going to rewrite this headline, Kurt. I'm going to take out the left liberal lie part, because my headline will be the truth. Okay? It won't be Latinos. It will be illegals will suffer the brunt of Trump's deportation plan. Right, Kurt? It won't be Latinos. So let me
tell you. Well, that's the way I understand it. It's the difference between legal and illegal.
That's right. And it's not an attack on Latinos just because they're some of the closest countries where there's no big, huge, massive body of water in between or something that they can get here easier than others. So they do. And just because their governments are abusive to the point where they all want to flee their country and come to the greatest nation on earth, you can't blame them for that. Nevertheless, the reason that I bring this up about illegals is because I have a son-in-law who is Latino. All right. Now, he's a United States citizen legally here. He came and became a citizen as soon as he possibly could. Now, I bring this up because, Kurt, he's not in jeopardy. He's not going to feel any brunt of anything, is he? He's Latino completely. He was born in Mexico.
I don't think so. In fact, I'll bet he's kind of for the rule of law.
Well, he's totally for the rule of law. And what he says is what we ought to do is we ought to let people build the border wall. And those people who spend a lot of time on the wall, as long as they're not criminals, we can work on helping them become citizens as well. And I agree with him. It's not about hating Latinos. It's not about color of skin. It's not about race. It's about illegal versus legal. And providing an appropriate way for the good guys to come to America is a good thing, Kurt. Providing a way to turn us into a third world nation and violate our own laws is a bad thing, Kurt. And so I don't see how my son-in-law is in any jeopardy or going to feel the brunt of this in any way, Kurt. How's that going to happen? He's as much of a citizen as you and I are. I'm okay with that. I don't dislike people because they're Latino. But this is a left liberal lie. Latinos will suffer the brunt of Trump's deportation plan. No, illegals will suffer the brunt of Trump's deportation plan. By the way, as they should, Kurt. Not because we hate them, but because they're here illegally. They're violating the law. Now, if we want to discuss changing the law, that's certainly up for discussion. If we want to put together good plans to make sure that the terrorists and the thugs and the criminals don't come, but refugees and good, honest people seeking a better life can come and learn about the principles of freedom and embrace them, I'm all up for those discussions, Kurt. And I don't think color of skin ought to even be part of the discussion. How do we bring in the good guys and make them legal? What we've got right now is an underclass or a second-class group of citizens that they're here illegally, so they don't have constitutional protections. They don't oftentimes pay their fair share of the proper or limited government. I think the share we pay now is way too big, but that's another topic. But they also don't have the blessings that we have as citizens. And if they don't want to become citizens, they ought to not be here. If they want to become citizens, if they don't have a criminal background, we need to find a way forward. That does not mean amnesty. That does mean there's a way forward. And my Latino son-in-law basically literally is saying, hey, why can't we have them build the wall? And those who build the wall can maybe have a opportunity to have their applications sped up. In other words, put those who build the wall at the first of the line. Maybe you could say, look, I've been in America illegally. I'm sorry I did that. I want a better life. I don't mean to be a criminal. I just had no way to get here otherwise. I had to flee my country that's so hostile. I couldn't work. I couldn't support my family. Okay, we get those things. But then maybe we put them at the head of the line if they build the wall, Kurt. We say, you know what? That isn't amnesty. You go to work and work really hard and then apply, and as long as you're not a criminal and a ne'er-do-well, and as long as you've got a clean record in America, and maybe you have an employer that would sponsor you or something else, why can't we work out ways to make these things happen, Kurt? I think we can. I think we should. But this left liberal lie that, you know what, Latinos, man, they're going to suffer the wrath of Barack. There's plenty of Latinos in America that aren't even going to blink an eye. They're going to say, we agree with other Americans that illegality has got to stop. This exploitation of the system has got to stop. The system that allows criminals to enter our country has got to stop. Okay, Latinos don't want criminals running around either, Kurt. Why should they? This is not a racial issue, but they want to make it one, these left liberal liars, Kurt. Just wanted to nail that. Any thoughts on this?
You know, as I look at this whole, deal, it just comes down to a simple, well, is it against the law or lawful? And everybody, these people that want to call you and I a racist, or anybody else, they're typically promoting unlawful activity is basically what they're doing.
Yeah, and if we bring it up, they call us racist. But look, if we say the laws on the books are bad laws, that's open for discussion. But they need to be enforced if they're on the books. In other words, I just want a list of the laws you're not going to enforce so that I can break those laws, right? Not literally, but I'm making a point that, you know what, we've got to support the rule of law to have a country. We've got to have borders to have a country. We've got to have a system that can vet those who are here for the right reasons and want a better life. They're willing to jettison their old life and their old country ties and become Americans. We want to vet and find out who's who. If you're sick and going to bring disease in America, we don't want you to come. Not that we hate you, but there's no logic or fairness in putting our people in jeopardy. Even Latino families don't want people who have all kinds of contagious diseases running around free. They don't want that for good reason. We want people to come here to support our way of life, to commit to our principles of the proper rule of limited government, to agree to participate in and pledge allegiance to our nation, and to protect our national interest for the betterment of everyone. And these people have the audacity to turn it into a racial issue? What a disgrace, folks. What an absolute disgrace. Stop illegality. Stop violations of the law. Promote legality. Promote the proper role of government and the rule of law. And hey, illegals should shoulder or suffer the brunt of Donald Trump's deportation efforts. But again, there's ways forward. My Latino son-in-law, he is a United States citizen. He basically had, I believe, one of the great answers. Let them go build the wall. If they're really for America, why wouldn't they build a wall? And then why don't we work on a plan to change the laws to let the good guys come? If you don't think there's any room, just drive from like Montana at the border of Canada all the way to the border of Mexico and go through, Montana and Utah, Wyoming, and Texas, and all these places, and pretty soon you'll decide there's plenty of room. And then could we have productive, contributing to our society, citizens who believe in America? Some of the immigrants, Kurt, have a better understanding of how blessed America is than many of the people that are native or born here. Because they understand what it's like to not have the wonderful blessings of the proper rule of government, limited power, protections under the law for the people, Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights, and so on. They get it and how grateful they are for what we have, and they don't want to lose it either. Welcome to becoming Americans. The race baiters need to stop.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, there's two stories that dovetail quite well. The first headline, department stores become endangered. USA Today with the piece. Sears, folks, is closing 150 stores and selling its well-known craft or craftsman tool brand, okay? But those steps may not be enough to stop the unraveling of the traditional shopping in America. Okay, they put Sears and Kmart together. They hoped that would make a difference. That still isn't solving it, folks. And there's a reason that it's not solving it. Because there's disruptive technology at the helm. Your shopping experience, as you've known it for your whole life, is gone, folks. It's just taking time for the fallout, the shakeout, the reality check to occur. Okay? These companies that have these massive big box store brick and mortar establishments are going by the wayside. They will never compete because the overhead of an Amazon is so much less. The overhead of online companies is so much less. You'll never support brick and mortar stores that are just so massive. It's your exercise program just to walk in and buy something. I mean, it's crazy. But department stores are becoming endangered. Big time, writes USA Today. Now, I think if these companies were smart, they could survive. And we'll talk about solutions to help them survive in seconds. But Kurt's got the next headline to nail the point. Kurt?
Well, you know, the headline I saw over the weekend, and sometimes these stories, some of the most interesting stories, I think, happen late Friday into Saturday, you know, that kind of thing. Because, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, they want to report them, but they don't really want you to see them, I think. And this story is about Amazon, and you got the headline that reads, Amazon worth more than Sears. What else? Macy's and Target combined.
Did you hear that? Amazon is worth more than Sears, Macy's, and Target combined. That is beyond imagination, Kurt.
And this author starts out and she says, did you buy nearly all your presents for the holidays at Amazon? She says, I did, and I must not be alone. Jeff Bezos is the new Santa Claus, but to the rest of retail, Bezos is the evil Krampus that's punishing, I don't even know that guy, but that's punishing them all for their naughty behavior. She says, consider this, Amazon is now worth more than these 10 best known retailers combined. So she's got Macy's, Kohl's, Sears, JCPenney, Nordstrom, Best Buy, Barnes & Noble, Dillard's, Gap, Target, let's see, I guess it's and Target. So, you know, you add all those together, and then she says, in fact, it's not even close. So, you know, and then, of course, it's interesting, there's a related story that says, Macy's is closing 68 stores, cutting 1,000 jobs. And, you know, 10, this, Sam...
jobs.
Oh, okay, this one just says 1,000 I'm looking at. But anyway, when you look at this story, at least it illustrates that phrase that you've always taught us, Sam. It's called disruptive technology. And Amazon's market value, they say, is just north of $370 billion. These other retailers are collectively worth a little less than $95 billion. And a big chunk of that is from Target, which has a market value of $40 billion. I see these things just pretty much going away, Sam. Amazon also is worth significantly.
Hold on, let me stop you. It depends on what they do.
On what they do. That's right. That's right. If they learn from successful people, you know, for example, like Target, I think they learned from Walmart, or maybe the other way around. I'm not sure, but, you know. But now, if you're smart and if you're in retail, I think you've got to learn from the leaders, don't you, Sam?
Without question, Curtin. This is the free market doing the job that needs to be done, which is competition. Build a better mousetrap. Find a better way. Provide more service. I'm going to give you an example, Kurt. Ace Hardware. I love Ace Hardware. Ace is the place for the helpful hardware folks is their slogan. What a great slogan, because that really tells, in my opinion, the model for success. And I'll tell you, when I go into Ace Hardware, number one, I don't have to march and get my exercise program out to walk into a big box store. Number two, when I'm looking for something or need help, somebody actually comes to me. And I'm not telling you they know everything, but they have a pretty good working knowledge of what they're talking about. If I want this or I want that or I want something, number one, they know where it is. Number two, they know how to help me discuss it in a way that's meaningful for what I'm trying to do. okay? Mm-hmm. In other words, they can give me information on the light bulbs that are there, or they can help me understand I need sand for this purpose. I went and bought a fire pit the other day, and I got called for a little bit of sand in the bottom of it and stuff like that. And so I went in there, and they go, yeah, you know what? We've got different sand. Some of it's decorative sand. You don't want that. You do want this sand over here. It's $5 for a 50-pound bag or whatever, and it'll do everything you need. And the guy understood. He took me, instead of just saying, I think it's on aisle 9B, sir, and ignoring me while they're doing something, this guy's like, you know what? Hold on. And he hung something up that he was working on. And then he said, let me walk you over there and make sure you get what you need. So we went over there, and he showed me the different sand, and then it was a 50-pound bag, and I was about ready to pick it up. And he goes, do you want me to run and grab you a cart for that? And I said, no, thank you. It's okay. I got it. It's not that bad. And he goes, yeah, usually if it's above 50 pounds, I get a cart, but otherwise it's not too bad. But the guy was not only, one, stopped what he was doing, two, walked over there with me and intelligently discussed what I was working on, three, offered to run and go get a cart so that I wouldn't have to carry it to the check stand. And so when I got to the counter, I said, you know, I just want to tell you guys how grateful I am for you. You've got knowledgeable, pleasant people. I don't have to walk a gazillion miles for your store. Their store's big, but it's not huge. And I just felt like, you know what? That is one of the biggest keys that will decide who's who in the business is customer service. Now you could say, Sam, Amazon doesn't have good customer service. Well, that may be debatable, but the fact that they return stuff quickly and easily, the fact that they have stuff available so easy to get, and I'll give you a story about that in just a second, is just tremendous. And so customer service, I would submit to these smaller retailers, is one of the most important pieces you can invest in. If you don't believe me, just ask the folks over at Zappos, okay? An incredible shoe store. They have other things now too, but customer service is their middle name. And they ship you product, and if you don't like it, they ship it back at their expense. But they're so confident in their model. And they've written an incredible book called Delivering Happiness. The CEO has written a book called Delivering Happiness, talking about this customer service critical component. But anyway, I'm telling you, that's number one. Number two, what they've got to do is they've got to find a way to deliver things to you quickly and efficiently, and Amazon is doing that. When I go to the store and I want something and they're out of it, they don't have a good way to get it to me. That's got to be solved. They cannot afford to keep all this product in stock. And they cannot afford to keep the lights on and these big stores open. Because there might be five stores near me. They can't afford that. What they need to do is turn them into warehouses that are a lot less costly to run. And they need to work on a distribution model that Amazon has done to really change the game. And they need to turn these big, massive distribution stores into warehouses. And then what they need to do is they need to have little teeny retail centers, Kurt, where I can walk down and touch and feel. And they need to eventually say, Sam, if you want to buy this product, I'm here to just explain it to you and talk to you about it. I'm a customer service guru to the highest order, and I understand my product so well. And then they'll say to me, Sam, if you want to buy this, I'll have it delivered to your house. Probably before you get home, my friend. Are you cool with that? When they get there, they'll really be cooking. We'll talk about it. Did you buy most of your presents at Amazon? We'll talk about this. This is critical. The retail model is absolutely changing. And there's no way to escape it, folks. But there is ways to embrace it and profit by it. Liberty Roundtable, live.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Nat Hentoff, whose lengthy and variegated writing career included music criticism, novels, and unstinting defense of the Bill of Rights, died at age 91, surrounded by family, listening to Billie Holiday, reported his son, Nick. Hentoff, a former syndicated columnist for the Washington Post and longtime featured writer for the liberal Village Voice, was also published in the conservative online journal WorldNet Daily, whose editor, Joseph Farah, referred to Hentoff as America's conscience in a tribute published last fall. When people talk about old-school liberals who defend to the death your right to say anything you want, chances are good that Hentoff is the fellow they've got in mind, declared Jesse Walker of the libertarian journal Reason. For decades, Hentoff pounded away at the evils of censorship, and he didn't care if the censor had a left-wing agenda or a right-wing one. If anything, he seemed especially perturbed when people he expected to share his values started stomping on individual liberties. A self-described liberal atheist Jew, Hentoff was also a passionate defender of the right to life and an outspoken opponent of abortion. In an interview with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, Hentoff excoriated Barack Obama, describing him as much worse than George W. Bush in his abuses of executive power. Obama seems to have no firm principles that I can discern that he will adhere to. His only principle is his own aggrandizement. That is a very dangerous mindset for a president to have, declared Hentoff. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so we're talking about Amazon. We're talking about, did you nearly buy all your presents at Amazon this year? We're talking about Amazon is worth more than Sears, Macy's, and Target combined. And we're talking about department stores are becoming endangered. USA Today. Amazon's market value, folks, is just north of $3.7 billion. $370 billion. It's hard to get a handle on these numbers. $370 billion. $95 billion are all these other stores combined. Almost half of it is Target alone at $40 billion.
Yep, that's right.
It's beyond imagination.
And it's a CNN money piece. And, you know, they even talk about the market value for Amazon is about $135 billion higher than Alibaba's. Now, if you're not aware of Alibaba, that's more of a,
Chinese,
like a Amazon. Chinese area. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they say $160 billion more than Walmart.
And it's just hard to even comprehend, folks.
They say Amazon's worth more than twice as much as Home Depot and six times as much as Lowe's. Anyway, they say company is much more valuable than another famous retailer based in the state of Washington, too. That's Costco, by the way.
Yeah.
That warehouse giant, which is increasingly competing with Amazon in the grocery business, is worth about $300 billion less than Amazon. So,
which means anyway, about $70 billion,
Kurt. Yeah, it's...
right now. I mentioned that customer service is one of the great ways these companies can set themselves apart. You got to have a knowledgeable person on the ground. That makes so much difference. The only reason not coming to your place is if you have a knowledgeable person on the ground. They need to turn their big, massive warehouse or stores that are not able to sustain themselves into warehouses for product distribution, Kurt. And they can do that. They can use their buildings. They can decrease costs big time. And then they can have products to you quickly. Then they need to have little teeny. And when I say teeny, I don't mean like so small that it's like a bathroom or a phone booth or anything. I mean, no. Small in the sense that you walk in and it becomes a show and tell, if you will. You want to see something, touch it, hold it, talk to somebody knowledgeable about it. We got it. And then, sir, it can probably be there. I know this isn't today, but it's the end goal. Sir, it'll probably be there if you want to buy it before you get home. Thank you so much for coming in and touching and feeling and learning about our products. And you talk to an expert, Kurt, somebody who knows. Having Sam Bushman selling you electronics or something who knows a lot about tech would be the answer. It wouldn't be, you know, what, 20 guys running around on the floor doing stuff and you try to get a hold of them and they turn their back on you and you got to run down the aisle at breakneck speed to stop somebody that you thought clearly saw you, but they run away from you kind of stuff. Or they're too busy to help you or they don't really know where a product is. Or, you know, yeah. This model is gone, folks, because there's no customer service in it. Nobody likes to just walk around forever trying to find something that when they get there, they go, oh, you're out of it anyway. Oh, man, I can't believe I came all this way and did all this for that. Now, let me give you a tiny story as an example of this. I gave you the Ace is the Place with a helpful hardware folks. Incredible example of smaller stores, knowledgeable people, incredible customer service. All right, those are setting the standard, folks. I'm telling you right now. Now, another story, Kurt, is I got a scale. And I've had the scale for a long time, and the battery's out on it. So I opened up the little back of it, and, well, it requires one of those round cylinder kind of watch battery things. Man, I don't have one of those in my battery box. Come on. But then I thought to myself, what do I do to get this? And I thought, who would have it? Well, Radio Shacks are kind of going bust. Man, I guess I got to go to a watch store, a jeweler. And then I thought, you know, those people are going to be overpriced for the simplest things. And then I just thought, why don't I just check on Amazon? It'll probably be here before I can even blink. So I went on Amazon, and they give 4 batteries for $5. Prime shipping comes to me. 2 of them is like $3.50. All right, I'm going to buy 2 of those batteries for $3.50. It's going to be to my door before I can even spend my time going to find it, Kurt. Okay, you just can't beat that model.
It's amazing.
No one's evil. No one's causing problems.
Yeah,
but
the
you
only
gotta
way
set
you...
yourself up in a vertical market with customer service and a knowledgeable person about the products, Kurt.
That's right. And if you want to compete, at least in my opinion, you know the old phrase where they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You ever heard that?
Yes, amen.
You know, basically, that's what you want to do. You know, if you're these other, you know, individuals who want to succeed in this kind of world we got today, is learn from the best and, you know, try to duplicate it. Or at least, I guess you might, you know, if you're a small retailer and you can jump in on the Amazon bandwagon, we've known people who do that, right, Sam? Then you can participate that way, you know.
Now, Kurt, the
but
interesting thing is a lot of these companies, instead of closing whatever it was, 68 stores, why not turn them into warehouses? Why not, and say, Amazon, we got a warehouse, we'll sell you, or we'll let you rent out and partner with. Or, you know what, we'll deliver our products to the warehouse instead of having 10 stores within, you know, driving distance of my house. Maybe you have 9 warehouses and 1 or 2 stores. Or maybe you, all I'm telling you is there's ways that they can get the jump on Amazon, but they're going to have to work on distribution method. They're going to have to work on knowledgeable customer service people. And they're going to have to work on saying, look, I cannot sustain the overhead of these massive stores full of people that I've got to employ and everything else. Now, I know it's going to be an employee hit. I get it. But you're not going to stop that, folks. You're not. Yeah. And so if you can do customer service to the hilt, if you can have knowledgeable people that know what they're talking about, if you can have a way that I can come in and have a grateful experience. Now, by the way, when I go into the Ace hardware store, not only do they have knowledgeable people, not only do they have incredible products and service, but they got a popcorn machine there, Kurt. And when you leave, if you want a bag of free popcorn, they just give you one. Yeah. And when you walk out, you feel good inside. You say, man, I got my 50-pound bag of sand. I got some light bulbs. The guy actually knew what he was talking about, and he told me which ones that are selling best and why and how many candle hours or whatever you want to call it they have. And he talked to me about the difference between the daylight LED light bulbs and the yellow light or the different kind of light that we're all used to of the other ones. And, you know, the younger audience likes that bright, you know, daylight light that's you know, and we, the older people, like more of the traditional light. And he discussed all this with me, and then I got to pick what I want. And then on my way out, they're thanking me and have a great day, sir. And I'm eating popcorn, and I'm walking out of there going, man, this is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm giving you examples of what works, folks. I'm not just talking out of both sides of my mouth. I'm telling you the key to success. And I challenge anybody on this. They say I don't know about economics or retail because I don't have a, quote, degree, Kurt. But I can tell you when I feel good. I can tell you what when I wake up in the morning and I need something where I want to go. I can tell you that. And I can tell you why. And I can articulate it, I don't know, maybe better than most. But these are the keys to success, Kurt. And if these companies, instead of just going, let's merge and get bigger, let's just double our stuck on stupid, that'll help. No, it won't, folks. Yep. It won't help at all. And they need to learn to take a page out of the playbook that's working. And I'm telling you what that is. Any comments on this, Kurt? I don't mean to go off, but I just had some personal stories that related so well, I just couldn't help it, you know?
Well, you know, and you're very familiar with, you know, an entity that has moved to, you know, be, I guess you could almost say, a partner with Amazon. And, you know, in the past, you remember in the days of early days of Walmart, the goal was bring it home to the USA. And I think a lot of people jumped on that bandwagon thinking, hey, that would be an improvement. We could have American-made products and they'd be available at all those places so we could buy American. Well, Walmart went away from that. And now
you know, people
frankly,
are going away from Walmart.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and they might reinvigorate their, you know, stores if they would focus on that. I don't see any big retailer really focusing on that at all that I can see. And yet, you know, when you look at the political scene, it's certainly a winning situation there, Sam.
Yeah, and everybody says, well, Sam, it's all about cost. Cost is the only thing that matters. I disagree, Kurt. I'm telling you right now, I'll pay a couple of bucks more at Ace Hardware every time. Because, like I said, when I go there, people have knowledge. When I go there, people can help me with my projects and what I'm doing and what I'm working on. They need to have that in electronics. They need to have that. A lot of these companies have online sites. But what they do is they go, oh, I don't have it in the store. That's only online. Well, you got to have a way for me to see it and touch it and hold it and play with it and ask questions about it. That's where your success will come from, I promise you. I promise you. There's different things that when people buy, they just want to hold. They just want to learn about. They just want someone knowledgeable to help them through their decision-making process. They're ready to buy. But there's five items for me to buy, Kurt, and I don't know really which one. If somebody could just break it down for me and put it in a way that I could understand, that I could quickly make a decision. And then the sale's yours. Did you buy all your presents at Amazon? All right. Billionaire Buffett's in the news. We'll talk about him, and we'll talk about radio on Liberty Roundtable Live. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt, news the networks refuse to use. I mentioned Warren Buffett right before the pause. He's in the news, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's right, Sam, and the headline reads, Billionaire Buffett says he caps his spending at McDonald's on stock markets down days. Now you say, well, what's that about? I mean, is
he's not
him
talking
buying
about it. He
McDonald's?
Doesn't buy a Big Mac. He actually buys a dollar cheeseburger instead. He's not talking about that, right?
Well, Victor Reklaitis has the story at MarketWatch.com, and what he says is, when things are a little bit down, he would go from buying a $3.17 bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. So he passes up that and goes to the $2.95 one. It's just an interesting story about how a guy that they say is worth, 70-something billion, I guess it is. He tries to watch his pennies as well. And we can learn from that. We don't have to spend like a, I guess you could say if you spend like a billionaire, you're being kind of careful with your money.
But he's putting out something to understand here, Kurt.
Yeah, how this billionaire is kind of like, seen as a really cool guy and a good guy in the news, and yet another billionaire, Mr. Trump, is kind of like the evil one of the world, right, Sam?
Yeah, and it's going to be really hard for those folks to make $15 an hour if old Buffett just starts to kind of pare down. You know what I mean, Kurt?
Yeah, it's just interesting. And I guess in a related story I kind of followed, during the break, some guy was trying to figure out more about Buffett. So he cruised in there to, Omaha. And he even went and got an $18 haircut like Buffett would do. By the way, you can get cheaper haircuts if your wife does them, that kind of thing. But anyway, in this case, he went and got an $18 haircut.
By the way, you can also go to a lot of hair colleges or hair schools.
Yeah,
And a lot of them have a little place where you can get haircuts for like $5 or $8 or whatever. And they have students do it, but they're pretty good. They've done a lot of, haircuts on mannequins or whatever else. And they've gotten pretty good at it by the time they do your hair. And they're not perfect, but they're way cheaper, even if your wife can't do it. Some folks
don't
have wives yet. You know what I mean?
That's right. In this guy's case, when he was getting the $18 haircut, his reason is, this guy that cut hair is about 80 years old and in the same building as Buffett. So Buffett just makes an appointment every 2 or 3 weeks, gets a little trim, watches the news while he's, getting his hair cut and cruises on. But the sad thing about Warren Buffett, if you ask me at least, is I like the parts of him being, frugal and that kind of thing. But the things that he promotes with his money, you know, and stuff like that is sad
plenty to be
me.
Desired.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the other interesting thing, just making this point, you know, we hear that Donald Trump goes to McDonald's and goes to some of these, and we hear that Warren Buffett goes to McDonald's. And so it's interesting these billionaires go to McDonald's or go to cheap places to eat, Kurt. It just shows in some measure why they have their money.
Yeah, that's a great point, Sam. Yeah. They're careful with it.
The guy that thinks he's rich, not really rich, might never go to McDonald's because, hey, I got to go to a fancy place. Now, I don't really avoid McDonald's because I, you know, want to spend a lot of money. I avoid it because I really appreciate a little more healthy food, personally.
Yeah, you like places like State Street Grill, you know.
Of course I do.
Patty and Greg, yeah.
Now you're talking. All right, Norway's in the news, Kurt. And this isn't very delightful news either, but it is the way the governments can try to control and shut down the new media taking center stage, huh?
Yeah, it's, you know, this may be more of interest, this kind of story for, you know, our friends in the radio world. But, you know, if you're listening to this, then you kind of have a connection to the radio world. The headline reads,
if it comes to a theater near you, it'll affect you personally, Kurt.
That's right. It says, Norway warned plan to switch off FM radio will cut off millions. They say critics say the Scandinavian country is on a different wavelength to the millions of Norwegians who do not own a digital radio. Connor Sefton is the news reporter there, and it says Norway is to become the first country to shut down its FM radio network. Despite concerns that millions are not ready for the switch to digital. Anyway, I guess the bottom line is, Sam, they're just, so it'll all be, I thought there was digital FM, but maybe not, huh, Sam?
Nah, it is FM that they're going to get rid of.
Yeah, so that means basically then people would only be able to get, like, the wireless internet and all that kind of stuff? Is that,
nope, hold on.
What does it translate to?
There's analog radio, which is what you and I are traditionally used to on AM and FM.
AM and FM, okay.
Okay. And now there's digital AM and digital FM. In other words, it's not just an analog signal. Your traditional radio doesn't work. You have to buy a, quote, digital AM/FM receiver. And so, yeah, there's, you know, opportunities on the internet, and that's digital as well. But understand, there is over-the-air digital radio. And what they're trying to do is keep FM, but get rid of the analog FM. In other words, if you don't have a digital radio, you can't capture the, quote, digital over-the-air FM signal. That's what they're talking about, is getting rid of the analog AM and FM that you and I are used to. The reason why is they can control it so much better when it's all digital, Kurt. I personally think it's a huge mistake. Not because I'm against the digital, but because the way digital is rolling out, it has absolute control. And I'm very concerned about it. I also don't see the point in throwing away literally millions and millions and millions of perfectly good radio devices. But the government wants to force that narrative, Kurt, because then they can control the media much easier. It costs a lot of money to take an AM radio station and put out a digital feed, Kurt. A lot of
money.
Does it?
All right. Well, anyway, that's what... do you see this as basically coming to...
Yeah. Because governments are forcing it. Do I see it as financially viable from a free market point of view? Not even maybe. But if the government forces it and forces a broadcaster to turn off their analog signal, Kurt, it's going to be viable, right?
Yeah, they say the UK government says it will consider a switchover once 50% of listeners are using a digital radio, a milestone which analysts say could be reached by the end of this year. Other countries are going to be watching with great interest, they say. Switzerland's planning to retire its FM network in 2020. Hindsight. Anyway, Ole Jürgen, he's head of Digital Radio Norway, has admitted that cars will be the biggest challenge because a good digital adapter for an FM car radio costs about 1,500 Norwegian crowns. Now, I guess that's 142 euros. So it's like 150 bucks or something.
About, yeah. Now, listen to me. Yeah. For every single car, that's expensive, Kurt. That's not even the side of the broadcaster. For a broadcaster, it's cost north of 50 grand to get all that stuff done.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you're talking big money everywhere to make it happen, and I don't really see the value, Kurt.
Yeah. And they say, I guess it's...
Now, remember, we told you about disruptive technologies, and some of them never come to fruition, not because they're not viable, but because governments and other entities shut them down.
Good point.
And I gave you the example of the Motorola analog radio solution. They were going to basically let it receive analog, and then convert it to digital and clean up the signal and give you a killer signal out of static. Mm-hmm. And that failed. Yeah. That's because this digital train is coming, Kurt, and they don't want those analog radios to work.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
Mm. See, it's incredibly expensive, and the footprint for the signals are smaller, too. So you're going to pay a big old bunch of money to upgrade on both ends to get less of a signal.
There you go.
It doesn't make any financial sense. But if government forces it to be the way it is, what are you going to do, Kurt?
Federal thinking, huh?
That's the problem. Central control, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I reject it. And I submit to you that what we need to do is get rid of these, you know, grandfathered in stations with these flamethrower type transmitters. And we need to basically turn the AM and FM band kind of like the CB has done, or if you will, citizens band. We need to make it to where anybody can set up a small radio station almost, Kurt.
Hmm.
And then the big broadcasters can go digital and have clear airwaves and do all those things. But that's not what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's ways forward in a lot of ways, but we got to think about it differently. And money usually is what is at the root of these forced agenda items. Money and control.
Very good.
Money and control. And it's sad, but Norway is, I don't want to say paving the way, but a lot of governments are watching how well it goes in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're fixing to do the same stuff, Kurt. It's tragic. Now, by the way, if you find our broadcasts and the broadcasts of our partners at Liberty News Radio important, worth your time, please financially invest in what we're doing. A little bit of money from a lot of people goes a long way. And we could really use your funding to expand, to grow what we're doing, to cover needed costs. For example, do you want us to be broadcasting live at the inauguration? We're going. But we're still short a couple of bucks and could use your help to cover some of the tremendous costs of broadcasting and traveling and covering these subjects for you as we do. We'd be grateful for any penny you can give to LibertyNewsRadio.com and the award-winning service LibertyNewsDaily.com and LibertyRoundtable.com. We absolutely are grateful for your listenership and your financial support. Every penny makes a difference. Don't think you're too small to participate. The Widow's Mite is how we have really obtained all we've done so far. Almost 25 years in the broadcast business, and we're growing every day, but we need your financial support to increase it even further. I hate to beg for your donations, but I'm telling you, it's we the people that makes this happen, and advertisers rarely support what we do. All right, LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.